Hey everyone, welcome to Business Therapy's first entry into our seminar series. In this series, we'll be breaking down popular business concepts to their core to determine if it's a viable strategy or if you should sidestep it on your way to business success. I'm Sam Drawshack, and as always, I'm here with Jonathan Adams. Today, we're going to be talking about whether VC funding or startup funding in general is a holy grail or a poison chalice. Let's dive in.
Let's get straight to that answer. The answer is it's the poison chalice. But let's take it back to the beginning. So you're a startup founder, potential person, and you see the world and you think, something's missing in the world, or there's a better way to do something. And you have all this energy to make a change, which is an incredible thing. Not easy to get all that kind of energy to say, hey, the way the world is right now, it could be improved, or I can make something better for people. But for any of that to happen, for that change to happen, you have to focus your energy. If there's any chance for you to be able to bring that startup to life and make that sustainable change. Every single time, actually, that you're investing your energy in anything, you have an opportunity to either create more energy for yourself or slowly deplete that energy. To be excited every time the alarm clock wakes you up that day and self-actualize, or you go down the path of the should and you say, I should be doing this. I should take a safe route. I should, et cetera, and become something you're not. And we've covered that on the podcast before, and we'll cover it again, no doubt, but that's a discussion for another day. Because today we're going to focus on, as a startup, what's your objective and what's the best way to reach it? And the first step in any startup is you need to validate the problem. Then you need to validate your solution. And the way that you validate your solution is by evidencing, by being evidenced by the fact that customers are paying for it. And ultimately, they're paying enough for it that you have a self-sustaining entity. That is, you're bringing in more revenue than you're spending. But how do you get from that idea that you originally had to something that's self-sustaining? The first thing I'll say, and because we're focused on VC funding today, is that not all dollars are equal. Think about it. If you were to take the money that you already have and then focus your energy to getting to your first sale and using sales to fund your startup, ultimately to self-sustaining, that entire process of focusing on the customer, generating sales, and becoming self-sustaining is something that you could do forever. That will be a self-sustaining entity. But if you take funding, you will have to redirect processes to be able to bring in that funding. And ultimately, that can't be a forever thing. Although there are many startups that it seems like funding becomes their primary mission and they're able to do it forever. But ultimately, that's obviously not self-sustaining. The goal can't be that you're forever going to have your investors with you. Eventually, you want to have a company. But when you don't, when you take that funding, you start becoming something that you weren't originally intending. Your original process was, remember, you're trying to engage with the market as fast as possible and bring in revenue from making your first sale and ultimately getting to that point where there's a self-sustaining change that you've made in the world. But when you bring in funding, little by little, your processes start bending away from that path toward needing to generate the funding in order to get to secure it, to maintain it, to meet your obligations for it. And you move away from that customer centricity to something that's a lot more internal. Think about it. Securing funding is a lot of work. You have some meetings. You have to do messaging, communications, emails back and forth. You have some more meetings. You have to wait around to find out whether or not they're going to say yes, whether or not they're going to say no. Sometimes after all that work, they say no. Or maybe they start negotiating terms, and that's a whole new process for you. You probably don't even have the infrastructure to negotiate those terms. It takes a lot of work. And then you need to go through due diligence. Nobody's handing you a check without going through a lot of due diligence. You have to sign agreements. And then you get the money. You get the money, but it's not just like the money that you brought into it. Let's say if you brought in your own funds, let's say you're working while you're doing your startup, you get the money, but there are obviously a lot of strings attached. But you say to yourself, it's better because at least now I have a lot of funding. And you think, well, funding's like energy. I can never have enough funding. But you have to start thinking about funding like food for a person. You can definitely have too much food. And what happens when we eat too much food? What happens when we get too much funding? We get fat, or in the corporate world, we accumulate a lot of waste. And so what does that look like? Well, I already explained all that extra work that you need to do in order to obtain the funding. But now you need to start thinking about what happens when that funding comes in. Remember, at the beginning, you're so lean and hungry that you need to really focus quickly to get that engagement with the market and be able to bring in that first sale, because otherwise you're not going to survive. That's a good kind of hunger. When you get too much funding, and we've seen it a million times, or if you get funding even from a source that it's like, think about it like a credit card. The first time you got one in college, probably not the best idea to give an 18-year-old a credit card and run up all those debts. You think free money. But what's the first thing that happens when all that money comes in? You say, okay, we got to get more professional. Let's start organizing the team, figuring out about how we work together. And let's become a little bit more corporate so that we put on a better, more professional face to the world. Or, hey, I had all these other ideas for our solution. Let's make it perfect. Let's really get excited about it. You know, so I have this great idea, but Elon Musk is saying we're going to be on Mars soon. So, hey, let's think to the future. Will this help us? Let's say we find alien life. You know, maybe we need to be able to accommodate that kind of community. In other words, the ideas just start sprouting and sprouting, and what you think you can accomplish becomes more and more, instead of being hungry and really focusing the way you should. So what's the alternative if we're not going to take VC funding? Well, plenty of different alternatives to be able to fund your startup. But at the end of the day, the ideal is to get as little funding from any outside source as possible. Ideally, just self-fund, or you really should be focusing and narrowing your scope as much as possible, segment your potential market down to the smallest unit possible so that that is the market that you're trying to sell to, and that's your objective throughout the initial stages, as opposed to trying to be something for everybody or not really having a very, very strong intention as to what your starting point is. So with that, it's a bunch to absorb, no doubt. But with that, we want to lay down the gauntlet and say, VC funding, poison chalice. Not a great idea. Definitely not what the Truvel mindset would have anyone do.
Yeah. And I think now that we've laid down the gauntlet, so to speak, there's a few more points that we can go into a little bit more detail on, and maybe we'll work backwards. I think the first response that I would want to field is, oh, well, maybe it's easy for people to say, you know, do it yourself or don't get funding from anywhere if you have means, but it's really not about having means. In terms of where you're getting money from to start a business venture, Jonathan's point on refocusing or being creative about getting the smallest scope, or in the lean startup sort of revolution, the minimum viable product, is you really want to focus on, you could have any sort of idea, but what is the fastest, most cost-effective way to get that first dollar? And they, you know, in a lean startup, that's a proof of concept, essentially, to say somebody would be willing to pay for this. But the faster you become revenue generating and self-sufficient, the faster then you can iterate at a normal pacing. And I think that's the part that doesn't get talked about as much when we talk about minimum viable products and getting that first customer interaction. It's really not getting fat and not having way too much and not having the ability to wander into unproductive directions, as Jonathan was talking about, but rather you want to make sure that first dollar, then you could figure out, okay, if I wanted to reinvest this first dollar and continue to grow the business, what is the next logical conversation I'm having with that client base or a slightly expanded client base? And then you've got organic growth, and that growth also remains sustainable, which is another big point of what we're trying to say, which is why the VC funding mechanic is not going to support that sustainable growth. So it's really just to say it's a less romantic notion. We have to combat the romantic notion that you're going to get this huge allotment of money and you're going to be able to create some incredible thing in a very, very fast time. And it would be sustainable, because that last comment on sustainability is the most critical critical one.
And I'm sure many of you out there are thinking about, what about network effects? Or what about all this, these scenarios where you absolutely need a critical mass of funds to be able to do something? What we're suggesting is that when we look at the landscape and we see all the funding that's out there and what it's doing, we see huge machines designed to get funding for all these funding companies to figure out these processes, to identify who's going to make the most money and are they going to be able to give X dollars return in X number of years. And, you know, there's definitely something good about people wanting to invest and change and invest in the future. So we're not saying that there's any negative activity we're attributing any negative attributes to any people, any of this. But what we're seeing is an entire machine organized around creating funds and money and increasing revenue. That's not sustainable change. That's not the kind of change that we're thinking about when we're talking about change. We're talking about actually making that change that drove the original energy that said, I want to do this startup, as opposed to being excited about the money that came in from whatever source and what we can do with all the money, et cetera. That's not what started the excitement. What started the excitement was the change you want to make in the world. And we're trying to keep everybody laser focused on that instead of this giant machine that's kind of sprouted up on the side of it.
Yeah. And this is where I think it's a good point to reflect on the mechanics of money as energy. And it's one of the core concepts that we talk about at Truvel. But when you actually think about energy as something to run the machine or sustain the company, well, money, we always talk about labor and capital is your major sources of energy. But ultimately, as far as where we are in the conversation, energy is energy. And if you create a company that from an idea, let's say the first step we're talking about is you want to see a change in the world, you're passionate about it, your human labor is the majority of the energy. And you don't need to put a lot of capital in at that point in the beginning, because you could be drawing zero salary, you could be living in somebody's basement, you could be working this as a side job. Whatever the sort of traditional context is for a startup entrepreneur, you are supplying a lot of energy because you are a human and you have labor that you can contribute. And if you're aligned with something, you're passionate about it and you want to see that change, that's enough. That's enough to start something and start the company. Now, let's say that you spend all of your energy in the beginning trying to get capital. Well, now all of a sudden you get an infusion of capital and the energy being supplied into the early stage company is now 99.99% capital from an outside source. Your relative energy contribution becomes extremely small. And when you create an entity or you create a process that's funded, or let's say not funded, because that's starting to be self-defining, when the energy going in is 99.9% of a particular source, well, of course, it makes sense that the process is going to evolve to consume that energy and also try to create more of it. You know, if you have a startup that's based on your own contributions and then your customers' contributions, it could be very early on that it's 99% you contributing energy and then 0.1% the client, then 0.5% the client, then 10% the client. And then you can imagine that, well, if that's the fuel for the company is going to react to that. So hopefully even looking at it from that, from a numbers perspective, the energy, the fuel you put in the tank, the energy matters and where it's coming from matters. And like the process that you're creating, the machine you're creating is going to be based on the fuel you're putting in. So when you think about it, when we discuss it in that way, it seems that it makes sense that the funding has nothing to do with the change that you're trying to create often. I mean, you could say a VC fund maybe is aligned with your mission directionally, but their purpose is to get return typically. And most funds are trying to get some return in some way from whatever you're doing. And that changes the alignment and the energy source of the company. And again, the sustainability aspect, we'll keep driving that because that's the part that's missing from the conversation. A successful company is not sustainable if funding is always going to be 80% or more, or let's say even the majority of the energy source of the company, because then the company is just selling to investors to get more money and they're just using the company as a vehicle for return. So it really, at that point, whatever you tried to start building is really irrelevant because the company is now just transformed into a money engine for your primary customer, which is the investor.
And there's a lot of examples out there of entities that were just amazing at collecting funding, but their underlying business model was not very good. There's a reason why, I don't know what percentage exactly of startups fail, but a very high percentage. But for even the ones that get tons of funding and seem to, I guess, go on life support for a very, very extended period of time, some of them, like Sam said, are so good at getting the funding that that's all they are. They never really validated a problem. They never really validated a solution. And now they're just chasing all these other activities. So very noxious cycle.
Yeah. And another point that was discussed is funding is not easy. Getting funds is an activity. And again, think about the profile of a starting company's energy. Well, now the energy and the excitement that you had, your labor, which was the biggest driver of the company being created, all the energy you personally had to contribute, now that all gets locked up in just securing money. So if you just zoom out and look at what your activity manifests, your company at that point has effectively become a company that just makes money by appealing to investors with ideas and getting funding that way and receiving energy that way. And that may seem distasteful to some of the listeners, but it's just the reality. It's just looking at action and what that action actually defines as your company is. You can wrap a label on it however you want. You can say, oh, this is the product that I'm building, and this is the company, and this is the change or the value that I have. But if I look at your activity on a day-to-day basis and 95% of it is basically negotiating with investors, you are just a company that is just seeking funding. That's your product, is seeking funding, because that's the majority of where the time of the company is being spent. And that may be kind of jarring, but that's what we're talking about, which is the self-awareness of where is your energy going? What is the activity building into? You could be working. I've seen startups and accelerators work on getting funding almost 90% of their time for, you know, 6 months, a year. They only put enough time into their product as it makes sense so the investors can understand what they're trying to do and they can sell for the funding. So what are you actually doing at the end of the day when you're in that situation? What is your company at that point?
And as founders, there's basically two jobs that you can never delegate. One is securing funding, and the other is making your first sale. So it's very hard to avoid activities relating to those as a founder, no matter how much funds you have, no matter how many people you might have. So you really have to think about, where do I want to spend my time? Making the change in the world? Or Sam saying the spending all that activity on securing funding.
Yeah. And again, once you get the funding, the fat that sets in, it's unavoidable. Yeah. When I talk about this in other forums, I always talk about a garden as an analogy, where you certainly, you know, want to, it sounds very harmonious to have a garden that could produce every season. And like when people think about farming or they think about gardening, it's okay, we plant and then, you know, we have annuals and we have perennials, or we have different types of vegetables and produce, and they will come back as long as you're tending to them. Well, actually, in the modern world, a lot of times what happens is we just take huge infusions of chemicals through the use of fertilizers and different kinds of supplemental things you can put into the land, and you can get a really high yield, and you can really pump that garden, and you can pump the land for all of its nutrients and everything. But then the next year, the next season, it's barren. And then what do you have to do? You have to pump it full of chemicals again. You have to buy all the fertilizers. You have to have a massive infusion of outside resources to make it work. And I think it's a very eloquent analogy for the modern startup that takes too much funding, because sure, you can maybe pump it full of all that stuff and you can get something out of it, but the sustainability is not there. If you don't get the same treatment the following year, you're going to grow nothing. And the land itself is not set up for yield that will be self-replenishing with the land and the market and the economy that it's in. So very much the same. If you have to figure it out that way, well, it's slower and it's less romanticized, because if you're growing a real garden that's going to produce year over year, you have to study the land. You have to study the actual load that it can take. You have to grow your first vegetable very carefully and see what happens, and then plan for what the land can take on and what is sustainable in that environment and what kind of energy you want to put in so that it can make it work. The minute that you start bringing in way more and getting that yield before it's time, you know, you really put yourself into a bad cycle. And it's very much the same with this kind of startup situation.
Yeah. Personally, I'm a little more neutral on venture capitalists, and I don't necessarily think they're like chemicals, but the analogy definitely holds.
Yeah, they have their own business. So, you know, here on the Conscious Business podcast, business therapy, we talk about no one's good or bad, really. I mean, the venture capitalists, they have a business where they're trying to put energy out there and they're trying to get energetic yield in the form of getting capital returned to them. And that's a viable business just like any other. So I agree. I think Jonathan's comment, though, is apt, that venture capitalists, investors, there's tons of financial markets that are just businesses that are also trying to be conscious and doing their business the way that they think best to get the results they want. But you have to understand what kind of organism that you're parlaying with when you get into business with them, because a lot of times, you know, they will talk to you just like you're selling to them. They'll sell to you that they want you to be successful, but the underlying mechanics of their business is such that they're looking for return, which again is not a bad thing, but it's just how their process works. So they're going to do what they're going to do to make sure that they're hitting their business objectives. And if you find that there's this lack of alignment, you won't be the first. You will be in a long line of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who have gone down this process and realized that, you know, Jonathan had we had an image in this webinar about handcuffs. It's maybe not that severe, but you've got external pressure. You've got people who think they know better in certain ways coming in and telling you how to do your business. And that can be a real deflator, but they're just trying to run their business. So, you know, if you could say, I'm going to start a company and I have an option to bring other people in who don't really have my same passion or experience in this particular niche, and I want them to tell me how to run a part of it, that sounds kind of unpalatable, or it should right off the bat. But then this is what we do when we seek VC funding, and that's what we invite in. And there's no way to avoid that. And I think a lot of people, they think they'll avoid that because, oh, I'm in line with the investors, or they're low touch, or they trust, or they're an angel investor, or whatever. But it rarely ends up panning out that way in reality.
Well, Sam, I think we definitely started a conversation that we hope you, our listeners, will continue and give us questions and challenge our conversation here. We would look forward to continuing the dialogue.